Thank you for my brothers and sisters here, those watching on YouTube as well. And we do thank you every day that ends in Y. And we thank you for Jesus, your precious Son, who loves us and gave his life for us so that we may spend eternity in heaven with you. That should cause us to rejoice and give thanks 24/7. And so tonight I pray that you would speak to us through your word. May we have open hearts, open ears, open eyes to receive what you have for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a little bit of an introduction. In 1789, President George Washington gave a proclamation to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God. That is what Thanksgiving is all about, my friend, to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. And that both houses of Congress, can you believe that? Both houses of Congress, both sides of the aisle, requested that a day of thanksgiving and prayer be acknowledged with grateful hearts to the favors of Almighty God. Boy, haven't things changed, huh? Sad. Also, 1863. That wasn't that long ago. You know, when we were in Vermont, they actually gave us a church that was built in 1817. That was way before 1863. And it was great. That's how God works. Takes, you know, us Californians, puts us in a log cabin in Vermont and gives us a church that was 200 years old when we were there. We had a two-seater outhouse. We had a wood stove I had to light at 3 o'clock in the morning. We had a church bell. It was awesome. It really was. We had horsehair cushions. You guys are spoiled. When you came to our church in Vermont, you had to find a lump that fit in the cushion. 1863, Abraham Lincoln sent forth a proclamation as well to set apart the last Thursday of November, hello, as a day of thanksgiving and prayer and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in heaven, to Almighty God. That's what Thanksgiving is all about. You don't hear that on the news, do you? You don't hear that from any place but the pulpit anymore. And again, if there's anybody that should really be thankful, it should be us. I don't have a Thanksgiving where I don't weep when we get our family around the table to pray for the food. Because as I shared Sunday, 42 years ago on Thanksgiving, God saved my soul. And like I said, God still pardons turkeys. And but what I do is I give thanks to everybody there. My kids, my grandkids, my wife. I would encourage you to do that. When you take time to pray on Thanksgiving Day, give thanks for those that are there, really. So how many people today know the true meaning of Thanksgiving? How many people today acknowledge the providence of Almighty God with thanksgiving and prayer and praise to him? And I would encourage you not just to do it on the last Thursday of November, but to make that part of your life every single day. Look what God has delivered us from. Not just our sins here on earth, but from sin and death. We are going to spend eternity in heaven, and we're closer than ever before in the church to the return of Jesus Christ. And so if there's anybody, again, that should be thankful, it should be us. Scripture tells us that unthankfulness is a sin. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:1 that in the last days, perilous times will come. I'm sure you're familiar with that section of Scripture. I'm going to read it to you tonight just to show you that we're batting 1,000 in America today. With the signs of the perilous times that are coming, we're right there. And Paul lists some things. He says, men will be lovers of themselves. Would you say that's true today? Everybody's taking selfies. What's it all about? Selfie. It says they will be lovers of money. boasters, proud. Yeah, when it comes to boasters, sometimes one of the worst things you can do is say to a person, tell me about yourself. 2 hours later, you know. Boasters, proud. Blasphemers. All you got to do is turn on your television set. There's blasphemy all over the place. They even use the name of the Lord in vain on television now. Disobedient to parents. And the next one is unthankful. That's a sign of the end times, unthankful. And you'll notice it for the next few weeks when you go shopping and you get to the cashier and when you check out. Very rarely do you hear those two words, thank you. It's like, have a good one, you know, it's like sad. When's the last time you heard somebody say thank you, other than tonight from the pulpit? We are living in an unthankful society. Unholy, hello. Unloving, unforgiving. Boy, that's a common one today, even in the church, unforgiving. And as I mentioned last week, a lot of people know what the Lord's Prayer says, but what follows the Lord's Prayer? If you forgive others, he says, I will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Hello? And there are people, unfortunately, in the church that are unforgiving. We need to be giving. We need to take that unforgiveness and give it to God and let him take care of it. Let him change our hearts. Slanderers, without self-control. That covers a lot of things. Brutal, despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I repeat, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, and from such, he says, turn away. So in the last days, Paul says, and right now, we're practicing all of those things in America like I've never seen before. I've been around for a while, but I've seen a slow degrading of things going on in our nation. And we're practicing all of those things in America. Our text tonight has to do with leprosy, also known as Hansen's disease. Leprosy is a physical example of a spiritual truth. Amazing. How? Leprosy erodes the flesh. Body parts just fall off. Fingers, nose, ears. It just erodes your flesh. Leprosy erodes the flesh, but sin erodes the soul. Yeah. From the inside out, where leprosy is from the outside in, sin is from the inside out. And some of them people hide. Bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, strife. Those things erode the soul, and they will destroy you from the inside out. Leprosy is a death sentence. So is sin. The wages of sin is death. And so our text tonight about leprosy is actually written by a beloved physician by the name of Dr. Luke. Interesting. And he's going to give us a physical example of a spiritual truth. The beloved physician. They call him that in Colossians 4:14. But the main point in our text tonight is not just leprosy, okay? But gratitude. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. How's your GQ? How's your gratitude quotient tonight? Are you truly a thankful person? The Bible even tells us we're to do all things without murmuring and complaining. We're to be a thankful people. Gratitude, being thankful. And not just on Thanksgiving Day. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I love this. It tells us that in everything, we are to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Everything? Yeah. Why? Because God causes all things to work together for good. I've had some bummers in my life, and you know what, though? I can look back, and God has turned those bummers into blessings. That's the way God works. We're to even rejoice in our trials. How many believers do you know that rejoice in their trials? How does that happen? Keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, knowing that whatever you are going through, he's going to see you all the way to the end. And look at the things, probably like myself at times, Lord, you know, help. I'm done. I'm dying. And here I am still. Because God is in full control of everything. And so let's look at the first verse of our text tonight, verse 11. Now it happened, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The way to Jerusalem is always up. It's a city on a hill. Notice it says there that he passed through Samaria and Galilee. Why do I point that out? Because in that day, the religious leaders would not set foot in Samaria. No way. And if they happened to touch their foot in the soil of Samaria, they would stop and they would dust their feet off. None of the religious Jews would ever go through Samaria. They always went around it. Jews considered the Samaritans unclean. They considered them half-breeds. There were Gentiles that bred with Jews. They intermarried with the Gentiles. How sad, you know? Jesus passes right through Samaria. And we see some interesting stories in Scripture too, don't we, about Samaritans. The woman at the well that gave Jesus a drink of water and received living water was a Samaritan woman. And she had a number of husbands, and she was living with her boyfriend. And Jesus gave her the living water that she would never thirst again. Jesus came into this world to die for sinners like you and I, and like the Samaritans and like the Jews. He is the Savior of the world. There's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ and him alone. Isn't it amazing? He passes right through, the Son of God goes right through Samaria. Not only was Jesus passing through Samaria, but when he entered the city, he was met by 10 lepers who stood afar off. Look at verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village in Samaria, notice, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Leprosy was and still is a highly contagious disease. Lepers were to be isolated from the general public. They couldn't even be around their own families. How sad. They couldn't hug their spouse. They couldn't hug their children, grandchildren. They couldn't get close to anyone. If they got within 15 feet of somebody, they had to holler out, unclean, unclean. They couldn't even sit in public. They couldn't even sit in a chair in public. How sad. And here they are, 10 lepers, calling out to Jesus, standing afar off, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In faith, they call him not only Jesus, but they call him Master. So what does Jesus do? In verse 14, he tells them to go. He didn't say go away. He said, go and show the priest. Notice this, verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go. Get out of here? No. Go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, look at this, that as they went, they were cleansed. Amazing. Here's the amazing thing. When Jesus said, go, they didn't question him. What do you mean, go? We want you to touch us. We want you to heal us. No, they didn't say that. They didn't say, hey, we've asked you to have mercy on us. No. When he told them to go, they all did an about face and went. And guess what happened? When they obeyed, when they by faith went, they were cleansed. Jesus healed all 10 of them from leprosy. What a miracle. How did that happen? By faith. They obeyed the word of God through the one who is known as the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. Today, fast forward 2,000 years. Is our trust so strong in God that we do what he says even before we see the evidence of what he's going to do? That's what it means to walk by faith. Too many people today walk by feeling. Too many people should have the Missouri license plate, the show me state. Show me. No, he doesn't have to show us anything. All he wants you and I to do is to believe by faith. And what happened when they believed by faith and they went? They were all cleansed, every one of them. What must that have been like? Can you imagine? They probably had body parts missing, fingers, noses, ears consumed, because your flesh rots off your body when you have leprosy. And all of a sudden, boom, healed. Can you imagine looking down and, wow, my fingers are back. My nose, my ears. It's not eerie anymore. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1 says. The evidence of things not seen. I repeat, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's what happened here. He said, go. They went. They had no idea what was going to take place. And the next thing you know, they're looking at their skin going, wow, been healed. What must that have been like? All of a sudden clean, leprosy gone. All of a sudden, I can't imagine what must have been racing through their minds. Oh, I get to go home and hug my wife now, and my kids, my family, my neighbors, my friends, my loved ones. I can sit in public now. You know, the list is endless of all the wonderful things now that they can do because they're clean. I can't imagine what that must have been like. You would think there'd be a men's chorus there. Hallelujah. You know, 10 guys just singing out. But we will now see the point of tonight's text here on Thanksgiving Eve. What does it have to do with? GQ. Yeah. Look at verses 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Wow. One turns around out of 10. Jesus had healed all 10 of these men of leprosy, this horrible, dreadful disease, yet only one of them, only one, turned around and went back to thank him, just one, falling down on his face at Jesus' feet. Scripture tells us he was a Samaritan. Yeah, he was despised by the Jews. And there he was, falling at the feet of the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. Commentaries, other pastors have said that the other guys were Jewish. And they were going to the priest to show them that they were clean. But here the despised Samaritan turns around, comes back, falls down at Jesus' feet, and thanks him, worships him. How much more so should we do that today? We don't have physical leprosy, but we were all cleansed of spiritual leprosy when we gave our lives to Jesus Christ. And you know what? If a little spot of leprosy shows up today, spiritually, a little sin, all we got to do is confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. I think it's so important to this day to fall at his feet. When's the last time you got down on your feet or on your knees, on your face before God? That's so important, and not just in those desperate times. Sometimes we just need to fall down at his feet and worship him like we see here. one would automatically think, with brand new skin and a brand new start on life, that it would have been a foot race for all 10 of these guys to get to the feet of Jesus, to thank him. But here we have living proof tonight that it is possible to receive God's great gifts with an ungrateful spirit. The Bible tells us as believers to do all things. How much is all? All things without murmuring and complaining. I confess, I admit, I'm a murmurer, I'm a complainer, but I need to repent. We should be a thankful people like no other people on the planet. Why? Because murmuring, complaining is from an ungrateful heart. Oftentimes we do it when things don't go our way. Maybe not for you, pray for me. You've heard me often say, I believe one of the number one songs in hell is going to be, I Did It My Way. Yeah. Why? Because we are to put ourselves to death, deny ourselves daily, pick up our cross, and follow him. And you know what? We receive gifts from God every day. And many times we take them for granted. I do. When's the last time you gave thanks for a bar of soap? Shampoo, clean towel, pillow, all those things. You know, we just take them for granted. Lately, after what God's been convicting me of, there's a book out called Respectable Sins. It's not part of the Dirty Dozen or the Filthy Five or the Terrible Three that we point out to everybody, but it's those little subtle sins that we practice without being convicted at times. And lately, God has really been doing a wonderful work in my life, and I thank him very much for that, that he's convicting me of things like being ungrateful and not being thankful in all things, even our trials. We can give thanks even in our trials because it's a testing of our faith that produces perseverance. One pastor said it was perseverance that got the snail to Noah's Ark. And sometimes we can move in like snails, but we're going to get there. How grateful these men should have been, right? Would you think? Wow. That Jesus even went through Samaria. That should have caused them to be thankful. That Jesus even went through Samaria. He didn't have to go through there. He could have gone around like the religious people, but Jesus wasn't religious. He came to seek and save those who are lost. And I believe in his mind, in his heart, knowing everything, being omniscient, he knew there were 10 lepers waiting for him in Samaria. I believe that with all of my heart. Not only that, he heard their cry. And aren't you thankful for that today? God hears every cry. Every cry. Every groan. His ear is attentive to every noise that we make. And through his grace and mercy, Jesus healed these guys. And through his grace and mercy, Jesus Christ healed you and I from spiritual leprosy. But before we judge them too harshly, how is your GQ tonight? How is your gratitude quotient? Are you a thankful person? And we're not talking about tomorrow. And you know what? I can honestly say there have been Thanksgivings that I haven't even been thankful on Thanksgiving Day. Murmur and complain. When's that turkey going to be done? You know? And the still small voice says, you should be thankful you're not the turkey that's in the oven. Because I very well deserve going into the oven, this turkey does. Do we give thanks in everything and for everything? And this is a wonderful challenge. I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you. As I often share, I'm not sharing everything with you. It's my heart that I'm bearing with you here tonight. We need to give thanks for everything and anything that comes our way, because Jesus Christ is Lord of our life and he's in full control of everything. So do we give thanks in everything and for everything? Do we take God's blessings for granted? How often, and I do mean often, do we enjoy the gift and not give thanks to the giver? Because my Bible again tells me that every good And every perfect gift comes down from our Father in heaven, every one of them. And again, I can be a spoiled brat, take things for granted. You know, and again, this is so convicting for me, but what a wonderful time to be convicted on Thanksgiving Eve. So from this point on, we can all be thankful for everything. Look at 17 and 18. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, it's not that he didn't know. He's asking the leper this. But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? 10 were cleansed, all of them. He didn't leave anybody out. But only one returned to give thanks. One, it says here, gave glory to God. And he was the outcast, the Samaritan. You know what the Bible says? He who has been forgiven much loves much. And you know what? I find that the most excited people in the body of Christ, the people that are the most thankful and in love with Jesus Christ, are those that have been pulled up out of the sewer, the depths of just sewage. Again, he who has been forgiven much loves much. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be forgiven, past, present, future? One of the problems in the world today, and we hear this all the time, well, I'm a good person. No, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. None good. Oh, they may act good on the outside, say good things, but what's going on in your mind and heart? It's like Hollywood. Oh, they look good on the outside, don't they? Woo! Until when they're off the set or off the screen, they open their mouths. They got a different daddy than we do. Who's your daddy? You are of your father, the devil, Jesus said. There's only two families, God's family and Satan's family. And so here we see it was the outcast, the Samaritan, that was the most thankful. Verse 19, and I'm going to close. See, I told you it was going to be a short one tonight. And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Wow. Notice the next blessing. By returning and giving thanks to Jesus, this foreigner, if you would, received much more than just his physical healing. The original language tells us that he was saved. Wow. Yeah. Literally, your faith has saved you, Jesus says. So it's more than just a physical healing. And look at today. There's a lot of people that we prayed for, unbelievers, interceded on their behalf, prayed for them, and God's healed them. But they never acknowledge or give thanks to God. How sad that is. And again, in my BC days, same thing. And I prayed the same thing. Lord, if you get me out of this one, I'll go to church. I lied. Many times I didn't think I'd see the next day. You've heard my testimony, Vietnam. Lord, if you get me out of this. I had a Bible in my pocket that I never read. Why? Because I didn't know the author. It was like reading someone else's mail. And lo and behold, God got me through it. And it didn't change my behavior or my lifestyle until that one day, 42 years ago on Thanksgiving. You've heard my testimony. By faith, this man was saved now. Literally, your faith has saved you. The 9 men that were with him, they were told to go to the priest, and they were, of course, declared clean on the outside. But they did not receive the cleaning on the inside like the Samaritan did. He was saved by the Son of God. As we close, happy Thanksgiving. As we close, if there's anybody that should be filled with gratitude It should be God's people. Yeah. With thanksgiving every day. Every day that ends in Y should be a day of thanksgiving. Why? We're God's children. Stop and think about that sometimes. We're God's children. Amazing. We've changed families. Again, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. And we should be thankful for a lot of things. A lot of spiritual leprosy that has taken place in your life and in mine. Our heart has changed. Our language has changed. Our actions have changed. And there's still more work to be done, but he's begun the good work and he will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We're not perfect yet, but we should always be seeking to change. The list is endless, isn't it, for the things that God has forgiven you and forgiven me and cleansed us from. We should be thankful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I do pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we would be like the Samaritan, just falling at your feet, giving thanks, just overwhelmed by your grace, your love, and your mercy, which is new every morning. Help us to be thankful every single day. In everything, give thanks, for this is well-pleasing to God. Even in our trials, tests, troubles, tribulations, we can give thanks. Because it's a testing of our faith that produces perseverance. And everything, all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. We love you, Lord. We're called, and I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would be a thankful people like never before. Sometimes, Lord, the two words, thank you, aren't enough when we're talking to you. That's why we serve you. We give thanks to you by serving, by loving other people, by even loving our enemies, by walking in obedience to your word. Help us to be a thankful people in our behavior. Help us to be a thankful people in our language. Help us to be a continually thankful people in our hearts, would you please? And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.